الرحمن الرحيم. After describing himself as master, he gave himself two descriptions. These are the first two descriptions of Allah, الرحمن and الرحيم. I'll make it a little smaller so you guys can see that better. There, that's perfect. الرحمن الرحيم, that's the Arabic. Oops. Okay. Now, somebody translate that for me. Call it out. The most merciful, the most beneficent. The most beneficent, the most kind. What else? What else you got? The always merciful, the continuously merciful. Okay. What else? The most gracious, the most kind. So confusing. The most beneficent, the most merciful is probably the most common translation, right? When was the last time you used the word beneficent? Just now. Oh, you're so beneficent. The point of translating, the purpose of translating, is to go from a language you don't know to a language you do know. Isn't that the point of translating? If you don't even know what the English word means, there's something wrong. We need, with all due respect to previous translators, English changes very quickly, so we have to keep modifying. The Arabic stays the same, the English has to be updated with times. It just has to keep moving forward. You understand? We'll understand these words in a good way, inshallah. These two words both basically mean merciful. Basically, both of these words mean merciful. Because they both have the word rahma in their origin. Rahma in Arabic means mercy. Also, by the way, from that word you get the womb of a mother. If a baby's inside the belly of a mom, she's pregnant, then we call her womb arrahm. We call it that because the Arab idea of mercy is, this child is inside and his rent is paid, his food is covered, his cleanup service is all covered, he has got no problems whatsoever, he doesn't even feel the need for anything. If there's any issues, who's taking care of them? The mom is. He is in what the Arabs call mercy. Mercy to the Arab is when you're completely taken care of from every angle. Everything's covered. And you know what babies do sometimes, right? Inside the mom. It's the scariest thing ever. I was sleeping one time. I was sitting on the couch next to my wife. She's expecting. And my daughter-to-be kicked me. Ew! My God, that's scary. And sometimes they stretch. And sometimes they punch. On the inside, they're punching the ribs of the man on the inside. That's insane. But they're still taken care of. Even though they violate, they do all kinds of wrong things. They make the mom puke. Right? Did he eat all her food? She's still hungry. Right? They take everything from her. But she still takes care of them. She still takes care of them. By definition, they're invading what's supposed to be hers, her nutrition, her body's supposed to be hers, and they took that space and they took it from her, and she's still showing them mercy and making dua to them, and reciting Quran, sitting there reciting Quran, making dua, Allah make this a righteous child, subhanAllah. That's the old Arabic definition of mercy. What a mom does to a child. Now, I said both of these words have to do with what? Mercy. Both of these words have to do with mercy. I'm sensing we're going to be a little late tonight. You guys okay with that? Okay. Alright. I have to ask. Okay. Even if you left, I would have still kept talking, by the way. I would have totally, shamelessly just kept on going. Okay. And if this was a masjid in New York, it would have turned the lights off. Go ahead, talk. Right? But anyhow. Both of these words have to do with mercy. Let's talk now about what makes them different. When two words are similar to each other in the Arabic language and they're put next to each other, then the point is to show you what makes them different, not just what makes them similar. You know, in English, when we talk, sometimes we put similar words together. I'm really angry and mad. I'm so happy and joyful. You know? You're dumb and stupid. We put two words together, even though they mean essentially what? The same thing. And we don't mean some deep thing like, what do you mean by dumb? And explain exactly how stupid is different. We don't think like that, because to us, you're dumb and stupid is one thing. I just wanted to say it twice so it hurts you more. Okay? But when Allah says Ar-Rahman and then says what? Ar-Rahim. Similar words. But the point is to teach you they are different. And you won't really know what's being said until you learn what makes them different. Now we already know what makes them the same. What makes them the same is they're both essentially what? Merciful. Let's talk about Ar-Rahman. Three qualities, I'll tell you about the word Ar-Rahman. Three things that are added to the word Ar-Rahman and its meanings. Number one, by definition, it's something extreme. The an in Ar-Rahman makes that word extreme. So it's not just merciful, it is what then? Extremely, unimaginably, unusually, highly, incredibly merciful. It's not normal mercy. It's extreme mercy. That's one. How many things did I say Ar-Rahman will have? How many qualities? Three. That's number one. Number two. It is something that is happening right now. It is actually taking place right now. It not only is it extreme, it is happening right now. Now let me tell you how that makes sense. I'm talking to somebody about my wife. And I say she's patient. I say about her, she is patient. I'm here in Houston, she's in Dallas. I'm talking to somebody and say my wife is patient. Do I know for a fact that she's being patient right now? I don't know that. So when I said she's patient, I'm describing a quality she has that comes out sometimes, but that doesn't mean that that quality is coming out right now, like immediately. When I say Ar-Rahman, it's not good to translate it as merciful by itself, even extremely merciful. Just because you call someone merciful in English does not guarantee that they are being merciful right now. So actually, closer to the intention of the text, Ar-Rahman means the one that is being extremely merciful. In parentheses, what am I going to add? Right now. Right now. Immediacy is part of the word. That's the second benefit. How many benefits did I say it'll have? Three. All three together. The third one's the scariest one. The English word is transience. The English word is transience. It has nothing to do with the transportation department. Transience means it's temporary. It's temporary. Now it sounds bad when I say that, but please understand first, and then we'll have a good discussion about it. Other words in Arabic that sound like Rahman are Atshan, Jaw'an, Ghadban. These are words that sound like Rahman. Hungry, thirsty, angry. All of these are permanent or temporary? But to make them temporary, something comes to take them away. If you're thirsty, what comes and takes your thirst away? Drink. If you're hungry, what comes and takes your anger away? Food. If you're angry, what comes and takes your anger away? The sisters here say nothing. My husband's psychotic, he's always angry. And some of you know, the board meeting at the masjid, now that will take your anger away, okay? Right? Something has to take it away. Something has to take the quality away. What we're learning then is the mercy of Allah is extreme. It's happening when? Right now. But you might do something that will take it away. Oh, that's scary. That's scary. Those are the three qualities of the word Ar-Rahman. Now we have to discuss two qualities of the word, what? Ar-Rahim. Just two qualities. Quality number one, it's permanent. Quality number one is what? Ar-Rahim means always merciful, constantly merciful, perpetually merciful, endlessly merciful. No end to His mercy, it's always going to be there, it is permanent. That's just the way linguistically Ar-Rahim is structured. That's one quality. Quality number two. It isn't necessarily happening right now. What did I say about Rahman? It is necessarily happening right now. But Rahim linguistically means it's not necessarily happening right now. It's always there though. Like for example, give you an example that you can understand. These are the examples that they're not for us to understand Allah, but to understand the language, okay? I describe a person as strong. Does that mean they're using their strength right now? No. But do they have that power even when they're sleeping? They have that power all the time. But they're not necessarily using it right now. That's kind of like what the word Rahim does. The power of mercy is always there. But the word itself does not necessarily mean that Allah is using it right at this very moment in some way. Now look at these two words together. If you just say Ar-Rahman, what's the potential scary thing? Now what's the scariest thing if you just say Ar-Rahman? It's not permanent. So Allah adds a word that makes it what? Permanent. Allah adds a word that makes it permanent. If you just say Ar-Rahim, what's the problem? There's a couple of problems. One, it doesn't guarantee it's happening right now. And also, it's not something that's extreme. It's not extreme. So how do you talk about Allah's mercy? You want to make it permanent. You want to make it extreme. You want to make it come right now. You want all the good things that come from Ar-Rahman. And you also want all the good things that come with Ar-Rahim. So Allah covered mercy from every possible angle when He said, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. There's nothing missing now. If you just say Ar-Rahman, something's missing. If you just say Ar-Rahim, something's missing. So what did you do for mercy? Put them both together. Subhanallah. There are surahs in the Quran where Allah just uses Ar-Rahman. Like what surah? Ar-Rahman. Where He highlights some very particular mercy that's happening right now. He just taught the Quran. He's Ar-Rahman. Goes with the subject. But when we want to do anything that we do, we want Allah's mercy to be there immediately when we're doing the act, and we want the blessings and the mercy to go on forever and ever. So when we start an act, what do we say? Bismillahi Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. We call them both. Because we don't just want Allah to be merciful right now when I'm doing it, we want that to continue. Now let me explain something really, really important to you guys about these two words. This is what makes me like absolutely love these names of Allah Azza wa Jal. What makes you really appreciate them. I'll give you an example, okay? I come home from work. I didn't have any lunch because students ask me questions. Okay? So I come home from work and I'm cranky because I'm hungry. And I get home and the dinner's about to be cooked. So it's going to be only 45 minutes. And in those 45 minutes, my wife asks me, or my child asks me, what are we doing next week? What do you want to do tomorrow? Where are we going 2 months from now? What about, you know... And I, you know, and as I'm listening to all of those, what am I saying? I'm hungry. I'm not going to say anything until I have some food. Are you a student? Because students, I answer all the time. Any family, get out of here. Okay, so who are you? Anyway, so the idea is, if I have an immediate problem, I fail to think about the what? Future. If you're not able to pay this month's rent, and somebody wants to have a conversation about with you about an investment, the returns will come in 15 years. You're going to say, why are you wasting my time? I need my problem to be solved when? Right now. Don't talk to me. And now let's imagine the other side. Imagine you're doing well. A lot of people in the world, Muslims and non-Muslims, are doing very well. They're very financially set. Their lunch, their dinner, their rent, their month check, electricity bill, everything is paid. Does that mean they stop worrying? No. If everything for now is taken care of, your mind is programmed to start worrying about what? Tomorrow, the day after, if the day after is covered, the month after, if the month after is covered, 2 years after. We just keep pushing the concern future. So there's two kinds of people. People that have a problem right now, and people who only think about the problem of the future because their now is taken care of. Yes? Okay. Now, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned Ar-Rahman first and Ar-Rahim second. Let me tell you. You're an employee. You really need your paycheck. You're living paycheck to paycheck. Your boss is on the other end of the city. And he's going to be late. You have to leave at 5 o'clock, but he's going to be late. You're waiting for your paycheck from your boss. You're getting nervous because it's 4:45 already, he's nowhere to be found, his phone's dead, and you're getting really worried. about your paycheck. Your employee, your fellow employee or coworker tells you, don't worry about it, he's reliable. Don't worry about it, he'll be here. He is what? Reliable. So in other words, he has the quality of being reliable. Right? Does that mean that he is being reliable? Right? Now you look, you hear your employee say, I know he's reliable. I know. He's been reliable before. I just wish he was being reliable right now. Because I have a problem when? I need it now. I don't care if he's been reliable or he will be reliable. I want it now. Then you see his car pull into the parking lot. You say, oh, okay. And immediately, as soon as you get the paycheck, what are you going to do next week? Right? Human beings want Allah's mercy. When do they want it? أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقُ. Doesn't he know who he created? He gave us the mercy that comes immediately first. He took care of our now first. Because he mentioned what name first? Ar-Rahman. And the moment he took care of our present with Ar-Rahman, the mercy that comes right now, my mind says, what about tomorrow? And Allah says, don't worry, it's always there. Ar-Rahim. SubhanAllah. He took care of us. Just in Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. The immediate and the future. Our scholars in the past, like Zamakhshari, would say, if you want to imagine the mercy of Allah captured in Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahman is like the ocean with the high waves that is so strong and so extreme. And Ar-Rahim is like the calm ocean that is endless. And a human being can never imagine both of them at the same time. Just like that, no human being can imagine Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim at the same time. Allah's mercy is beyond our imagination. The way Allah is merciful is beyond our imagination. It cannot be limited to our imagination. Never think of Allah's mercy like you think of anybody else's mercy. That is the biggest mistake of people who lose their faith. They say, how can God be merciful when this is happening, and that's happening, and that's happening over there, and this is happening over there? How can God be merciful when there's disease, or there's that flood, or there's that earthquake, or there's that war, or those innocent people are dying? What kind of merciful God is this? They ask those questions because they think they can understand the mercy of Allah. Allah's mercy is beyond imagination. It is not limited to your and my feeble mind. It's beyond that. Those very questions come from someone who doesn't realize they're a slave. And they don't realize Alhamdulillah, because they're starting with complaints. The moment you start complaining, you've already killed Alhamdulillah, right? That's already gone for you. That's already done for you. SubhanAllah. That's Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Now in these, we're not even done with the introduction to Allah yet. But I gotta share this really important thing with you guys. It's kind of funny. I think it's kind of funny. But it's a really important part of how I teach. And I want you to remember these lessons. I used to be a school teacher. One of my earliest assignments was first grade. At an Islamic school. If you don't know much about Islamic schools, let me tell you. Aunties own them. And usually these aunties are very angry people. If they were nice in the beginning, over time, life just made them very bitter. So I got hired as a first grade Islamic school teacher, and I went in there saying, man, these kids are exposed to these angry aunties all the time. All due respect to our aunties. I'm going to go in there, I'm going to be their friend. I'm going to play games with them. I'm going to tell them stories. I'm going to show them tricks. I'm going to pull quarters out of my ears and stick pencils up my nose just to make them happy. I'm going to be the best thing that ever happened to them. So I go into first grade, handstands and tricks and stories and candy giveaways, and kids would love me. It was amazing. You know, kids, I would walk into class, I'd go, woo! I'm the man! Woo! Yeah! Yeah! First graders would give me a standing ovation. It was the most amazing thing ever. The principal would have to come into them and say, everything okay? I'm like, yeah, it's fine. I'm just, you know, appreciating the awesomeness. That's all. So I did that for a week, and my fellow peers, the aunties that I make fun of, looked at me and said, see you next week. They knew something I didn't. Because when I walked into class the next week and I said, okay guys, time to start chapter one. What did they say? Do that thing with your nose. Do that thing. Tell us a story. What about a joke? Where's the candy? Guys, open up chapter one. I mean, no, we're not going to do it. And I have to like dig deep. These guys went crazy. They were in cycle, like, take your finger out of the socket. Don't hang off the fan. Leave your friend's eye inside his face. What are you doing, guys? Calm down. And I still remember to this day, one of the most scarring memories of my teaching career. There's this child, all the way in the back of the wall. He's got a pencil, and he's looking at me. eye contact and writing on the wall. And I'm in Charlotte. And his friend pokes him. He says, I think he sees you. And then the best thing is what he said to his friend. He goes, yeah, but he's a nice guy. Too much mercy can be a bad thing. Do you understand where I'm going with that? Man, too much mercy, and you might start saying, hey, I mean, he's so merciful. Mercy is like the top ocean, the calm ocean. You can't even imagine. So you go to the guy that owns a liquor store, Muslim guy owns a liquor store down the street. At least he's got the Ayatollah Kursi behind the cash register. So you go to him, right? You go to him and you tell him, look, bro, I know you got the Ayatollah Kursi there, but this is haram. And he goes, didn't you come on Friday night to Ustaz Naman's program? Allah is so merciful, man. He's not going to worry about this. So good. Is there a threat of that problem when people only know about Allah's mercy? Yes. Oh yeah. Do people take advantage of that? Oh my God, do they ever? Now let me tell you a little story. This is not a true story, but it's a story to help you understand the next lesson that's coming. How things are connected in the surah. If you forget everything I've talked about tonight, which is already done for most of you, but if you forget everything I tell you tonight, just try to remember this one, okay? Imagine there's a master, a human master, and he's got a slave. Guy comes to the guy and says, hey, you're my slave from today. He goes, okay, sure. Alright, now that you're my slave, he's just standing around like, so what do you want me to do? He says, do whatever you want. But see that fence over there? I didn't even put up a fence, I just painted a white line. Don't step on the other side of that white line. Can you do that much? He goes, sure, yeah, okay. So this relationship between the master and the slave starts. The master is sitting back on his rocking chair, watching the slave run around, do whatever he does. One day he's going close to the fence. And as he goes close to the fence, he looks back at the master. Is he looking? And he's looking. So he goes, not touching it. Just kind of walking next to it. Right? And he goes around it. Master's just sitting there, no problem. So he's looking at the master as he's walking close to the line and he trips. And where does he fall? Outside the fence. Immediately, where do the slave's eye go? He looks at him immediately. Master says, okay. He gets himself up, dusts himself off, gets up and starts walking. He says, that wasn't so bad. Next day he pretends to fall. Looks at the master again. Master never got up. Look at him, just nothing. No consequences. Next day he's got one foot on this side, one foot on the other side, one foot on this side, one foot on the other side. And he keeps looking at the master. Anything find trouble here? Master gets up and punishes him or no? No. Next day he's not even one foot on this side, one foot on the other side. Where is he? Totally on the other side. And his friend, who's a slave too, says, bro, what are you doing? He goes, man, he's so nice. Nothing ever happens. I was like, I fell one time, and I thought I was going to get in trouble. Nothing happened. The next time I pretended to fall, still nothing happened. The next day I was kind of messing around, nothing happened. Don't worry about it. So you should come too. He is so cool. He won't even. Look at him, he's watching right now. No, does he do anything? No, he's just like, what do you think? A couple of years go by, and the slave one day calls the master. The master one day calls the slave. He says, come here a second. Okay, what's up? Remember I told you not to cross that line? You remember that? He goes, yeah, that's pretty funny. He goes, well, I've been counting the number of times you crossed the line. And for every time you've crossed, you deserve a whip. And I've counted about 3,000. And I've decided to give you all of them today. Does that come as a shock? Oh, what? Why? What do you mean why? Who do you have to blame? Yourself. But you were so nice. Yes, but that mercy is not permanent. Except for those who remain my slave. You understand? Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when describing Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, said, Ar-Rahman is for all creatures in the world. Ar-Rahim is only for believers. Why did he say that? Because he knows Ar-Rahman is what? By definition, temporary. You want a permanent afterlife mercy? What do you have to be? A real slave. Then you get to have permanent mercy. The Sahaba understood this in a split second. It takes me an hour and a half. This was in their language. They just got it. They just got it. Now, if Allah just left it at Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, there would be chaos in the world. So Allah says that before you start thinking that I'm not coming after you, I'm only not coming after you because I put it on the calendar. Just let me go. Sounds like... this is not normal. And the first thing that came in my head was Hisab and Yasira. This is an easy audit. People will bring their book. If you notice, page 17, I think I caught a Laylatul Qadr. And I marked this other page, I forgave a friend of mine. That should be worth like Jannah, right? I've highlighted with marker which good deeds. I make sure I get credit for those. You bring the book and the angels are about to count your deeds and the angels are instructed according to the Prophet فَيَتَجَارَزُونَ عَنْهُمْ. They just say, it's okay, just go. You're about to open your book and go page by page and the angel says what? Go ahead, sir. We understand. We got it. Right before the angel said, you're good to go. You're good to go. Were you nervous? But now you're on the other side. You're on the other side. The moment you get on the other side, the Quran describes, he says, ha, ukra'u kitabi. Hey, look, guys, look what I got. So good. I knew I was going to do good. Inni dhamantu anni mulaqil hisabiya. I so knew I was going to do well. Allah even records that in the Quran. Subhanallah. And the Prophet warns on the other side, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innahu man su'ila yawm al-qiyamati, faqad halaka. Whoever even gets interrogated once is dead, is done. If the book gets opened, good deed, good deed, good deed. Oh, what's this AMC theater, Friday night, April 24th? Who's that with you? Oh, I got the full name here, okay. And what is that about? Can you explain yourself? Done. Finished. No more rest, no more interrogation. If you get questioned once, you're done. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal for His mercy on Judgment Day, and we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to skip over our precise judgment. Allahumma hasibna hisaban yasira. Oh Allah, give us an easy audit, an easy reckoning on that day. All of us, no exceptions, myself, yourself, everybody, all of us have plenty of mistakes on our record. Plenty. Plenty. None of us are safe from that. None of us. So Allah put both of those things together. You guys are doing okay? Yes. Okay. You know how to do okay?